Today we want to talk to you about the ability of what faith can do. Jesus said, if you look at this mountain, if you have a mustard grain of faith, you can look at this mountain and say, thou be removed and put into the sea, and that mountain has to obey. Now, I personally don't believe Christ was talking about mountains, but I believe he was giving us an indication of what your faith can do. Some of us have problems in life right now. You don't know where you're going to get the money to pay the landlord. I tell you, start to understand there's a realm for the church of God. I'm not talking about the non-church people. Now, I'm talking about you, the remnant, you that speak in other tongues, you that know God, you that have paid tithes to your church. I'm telling you right now, you have the opportunity before you. And all I'm doing is going to be a jumper cable to your faith. I'm going to tell you now to ask God by faith for the miraculous miracle that you need.
You know, what Vic is saying is mountains or hills in the Bible speak of obstacles. And, you know, Vic, the one thing God is doing in this hour, and we've got to be so focused on our assignment, is Jesus is building his church, Vic. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And, you know, God's never called us to build a ministry. He's called us to build his church. And, you know, I really love the last several months I've been listening to Vic. He was away in California just seeking God and praying, so I didn't have the ability to do the shows with him. But as I listen to him, he really has an ability to keep the people focused on their assignment. And, you know, he brings them back to what Jesus said, where he said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, which speaks of conversion, and then disciple them. So that's really the main function of the church, Vic, which is to catch the fish and then gut the fish. And, you know, Vic has not been saying we shouldn't get involved in the political realm or the educational realm or the media or the arts. I mean, he's been on the radio and the media, so he believes the gospel is moving through different venues. And Vic, in the book of Micah, chapter 4, it says, it shall come to pass in the latter days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. It shall be exalted above the hills. People shall flow to it. Nations shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. And then it says, for out of Zion, the law or his word shall go forth. So, Vic, what God is putting his church back on top again. You know, in the past, we've seen sometimes in the secular media where the church would become a mockery, or people would, you know, ridicule the church or Christians. But look where Christianity has come the last several decades. I mean, Christian music is huge. You've got Christian athletes on television giving glory to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the church really is not a place or a physical place, but there are Christians. We're the church. So God is once again putting his church back on top again.
And for God to put his church back on top, we need to now hear the voice of God and understand that God wants to give you an assignment. You see, the devil's job, I do a lot of thinking, people. I sit sometimes in my prayer room and I think about topics, and I think about the word distraction. I believe that many of you have been lured by the enemy very subtly to be distracted on something that you've never been called to. I believe now more than ever, you've got to know what wall you should be on. And let me tell you something, there should be some evidence that the wall that you're on is the wall that God has called you to. But so many of you are distracted into different areas that Christ has never sent you to. I need you today, if I can get this across, I need you to get in your prayer closet today and say, Lord, am I in the assignment that you've called me to do? And I want you to draw a circle in your room, and I don't want you to leave that circle. Now, don't misunderstand me. You leave the circle, but you don't leave until you get an answer. You may go and come, but you know that you've asked God a question. Now you have to wait for the answer. And I'm telling you, people, some of you are going to be very surprised when the Spirit of God reveals to you that you've wasted time getting into things that I've never called you to do. I believe Jesus knew his target. He knew when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came up upon him, he says, "You brood of vipers." He listened to their talk. He knew exactly what he was dealing with. He knew not to waste time with them. He knew to unveil who they are to the people he was with. He was precisioned at his craft. Then Paul in Corinthians 9 chapter, 1 Corinthians, he says, he starts to compare the race that we have embarked in. He starts to compare it to a triathlon's race. And he starts to say they prepare, they get strong in their flesh that they can win the race. Then he says, but you need to do something very similar. He says you need to understand that you don't beat your sword against the air, that God's giving you a sword to hit the target dead on center. That's why, my God, I hear some of you preaching to people. I'll pass by and listen. I'm saying, my God, that conversation's going nowhere, because they're talking about something that's so foreign to the person they're speaking to.
Yeah, Vic, the Bible says Jesus set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. And I'm thinking of this story, Vic. You're telling, you're just instructing the people about distractions, where Christ knows he's going to the cross and Peter's trying to stop him. And Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And you know, he wasn't calling Peter Satan. He was saying, what's inspiring you, Peter, is not of God. You're trying to take me off the target. The bullseye is the cross. This is what God's called me to do, and you're being distracted, and you're trying to distract me. And Vic, in Matthew chapter 17, we're talking about the mountains of the Lord to a degree. Jesus takes men up to with him, it says, to a high mountain. It's incredible. He transfigures right before him. The Bible says his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. Peter comes and says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make here a tabernacle, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you." A voice comes out of heaven and says, "This is my son." God yells. He says, "Hear him." Peter, you're going off course. You're being distracted. You're taking your eyes off the God of the work and putting them on the work of God. Let me just say that again. One of the biggest abortions, as I would say it, of revival or the move of God in the church is when people take their eyes off the God of the work and put it on the work of God. And Peter's trying to put God in a box, Vic. He's trying to box Jesus in and say, "Let us build a tabernacle. Let's savor this." Jesus comes on the scene and he says, "I have another mission. It's time to move on."
I can't believe it, Rob. This morning I was reading Matthew 17, 18, 19, right up the way. And I went and I sat there and I started to think about this transfiguration where these three brilliant things showed up. And Peter had the ability to see something so supernatural. And he starts to say, "Should I build a place for these three people?" And my God, I said, that's the body of Christ. Christ is showing up with signs, wonders, and miracles. And people are walking away. They don't understand that they're going in another direction, that they were called not to go in. They didn't hear the voice of God. And I tell you, people, today, you need to get back on course. Not on the course that I'm putting out before you, but I need you to think of the course that you're on and say, "My God, am I being distracted by my mother-in-law? Oh, some of you are distracted by your loved ones. My God, that can cost you 5, 10, 15 years. Those people, I'm not going to forgive them until they come back and say they're sorry." Some, how about this line? Some of those Christians, they think who they are. My God, people, get over yourself. Here's what I've learned. What you're mad at those people for, someday you'll commit the same thing. I just hope you have the eyesight to see your blind side.
Yeah, Vic, we've got to be careful that the very thing we criticize, we don't become. God is moving through his vehicle in the earth, which is the church, the called out ones. This is the institution, but he's always going to move through, where he sets up government with ministers, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, to equip and instruct the saints for the work of ministry. And, you know, we just want to see the chasm close between the clergymen and the laity, which are, you know, the people that aren't necessarily in ministry full time. Because the reality is, if you are a blood-washed Christian, you are a minister. All Christians are called to be evangelists. That doesn't mean you may get on an airplane and travel the world, but you're called to win your next-door neighbor. You're called to be an influencer in your sphere of influence. And, you know, we're talking about the mountain of the Lord here in Joel chapter 3. It says, it will come to pass that the mountains shall drip with new wine. And then it says, a fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord. So that God again is putting his church back on top. Christians are the one that are going to be the influencers of the kingdoms of this world. God told Daniel in the book of Daniel to possess the kingdoms of this world. He said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And in the book of Amos, it says, the mountains shall drip with sweet wine, the hills shall flow with it. So the church really is the happening place to be. You know, we turn on, we see Hillsong and these thriving churches in certain regions. And what the Lord's saying is, that's what everyone can have. And, you know, if your church may not be happening, well, you're the one to light the flame. You make it happen. You don't come, in a sense, needing prayer. You come as an intercessor, where you are adding a flame to the fire, and that God's called you to be there for such a time as this. So, Vic, you can just close this show out.
Well, I just want to say this in closing, that we've got to stay on assignment. God has called us to assignments. God has given us assignments. You've got to learn to discern the will of God for your life. You've got to discern if you should be helping this person or not helping them. There were times I felt the Spirit of God was telling me to help somebody, and then when I thought about it, I said, that wasn't the Spirit of God. That was my heart, my generosity of my heart. But it wasn't God's intentions for me really to help that person, because they weren't ready for the help that they needed.